Blog Talk Radio.
They say the revolution won't be televised. I guess that's why the world turned and paused and mourned when Tupac and Malcolm died. All my bloods and thugs and Harlem Nights. Keep reading, keep writing, keep fighting for our queens. Fools, pawns, trading kings, lie for temporary cars and charms. I'm the son of Nat Turner, the godson of Nikki Giovanni, nephew of Asada Shakur, second son of Afeni Shakur. So you know the pride of the Panthers in me. Marcus Garvey's red, black, and green is in me. Fools getting shot down, locked up for material living. This is all genocide. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power. Black power. More black power to my people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. Happy to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. This is an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and even some others, from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. And, you know, as we tell you every week, we won't be long, but we must be strong. We won't be long, but we must be strong. It is my honor, on behalf of the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, to talk to you tonight. And on behalf of our National Central Committee and all of our supporting chapters and our supporting staff, it is my honor to talk to you tonight as we are pushing up, excited, on the eve of the Million Youth March and first the National Black Family Convention, starting September the 5th, ending September the 7th, September the 5th, and ending September the 7th, live from Harlem, New York, 125th Street, Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard Plaza, where we will hear from some of the greatest minds and the greatest thinkers, some of the greatest minds and greatest thinkers that our times and the black nation have to offer. Some of the greatest minds and some of the greatest brains that our black nation has produced. And so we are excited as we're celebrating the 15-year anniversary of this bold historic occasion, called the Million Youth March. It's been 15 years since a beautiful, bold, courageous, strong warrior, colleague, general, soldier, friend, champion, named the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, had the vision and the mind to pull the youth together and to put black power back on the map and to put black power back on the minds and hearts of our people everywhere. The youth always inherit revolution, and we always, and the youth always inherit the obligation to push the mission forward. And so it is in that same vein that in 1998, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad wanted to move amongst the miseducated masses and the miseducated youth and the neglected youth and despised black youth to pull us together for an original upbringing, an original upbringing, and to make us whole again. And so 15 years now, here we sit, and unfortunately, really fortunately, but unfortunately, we still have to say the struggle continues. The struggle continues. And so we're still pushing. We have not stopped, and the mission has not quit. And until the last man or woman standing, until the last warrior standing, until the last comrade standing, we cannot quit. We cannot stop, and we cannot give up. There's too much on the table. There's too much on the table for us in the liberation struggle to stop this mission and to stop this mold and to stop this push. There's too many black youth being destroyed and being mishandled and being misrepresented. Too many Trayvon Martins being killed in the ghettos of America and throughout the streets of North America. Too many Trayvonias being abused and misused, raped and pillaged and killed in the hells of North America. There's too much to fight for us to think that after 15 years of labor that we can lay down. And so with mass incarceration happening against our people, black youth being mass incarcerated and put into the penitentiaries and jails of America on a daily basis for profit and for profit margin and profit gain, it is important that the black community wake up and shake up and move to save some black youth. And so this Million Youth March will open the eyes of the blind, and it will organize people who have never been organized before. It will also put a fire back in your heart to love your youth again and to love your people again. Black youth are the most underloved, talking about in America. We are the most underappreciated. We are the most pushed back, the most evilly glanced at, the most disrespected, because black youth have been criminalized. Most black youth are on a highway, according to society, to the penitentiary, and on a highway or roadway into the cemetery. And so this is not a statistic or a thought or a process that we can ever say that's something that we can go for. This is something that we have to fight against and resist. And so this Million Youth March promises to be something epic, and it promises to be something that you will never forget. It is something that we want you to bring your children to. We want you to bring your young boys and bring your young girls to the National Black Family Convention. We want you to come out and hear from young poet and organizer and teen youth prodigy Autumn Ashanti, who is going into med school, here soon, just a few days, going into med school, and she is 18 years old. We want you to come and hear from the greats like Sister Viola Plummer, who is a world-renowned organizer and a world-famous community activist. We want you to come and hear from the National Conference of Black Mayors and Sister Vanessa Williams. We want you to hear from the man who you heard from Monday night, who tore the radio broadcast up. Well, yeah, it was Monday night, tore it up. And I'm talking about Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson. And here from that great PhD in mind. And Dr. Umar, by the way, is a clinical child psychologist. We want you to hear from the great PhD in mind, mathematician and scholar, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, and that great scholar and teacher and presenter and warrior and elder amongst black people from City College and world traveler student of Dr. Ben and so many others, Dr. Yusuf Ben Yakinat and Dr. John Henry Clark, talking about the great Baba, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. We want you to come and hear from that great peacekeeper and trainer of men and captain for many years within the Nation of Islam, one of the right-hand men to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and one of those great ones who will be written of as a man who makes men, who works with the Peacekeepers Initiative, teaching sensitivity training to the black community and to others, and even law enforcement dealing with the black community, talking about Captain Dennis Muhammad. We want you to hear from that great mind and now teacher, college teacher out of Texas, talking about that great mind and one half of the great legendary rap duo UGK Bun B, who you heard rapping on Jay-Z's Big Pimpin' and other tracks. That's Bun B will be in the house. And we'll hear from the great son of one of our great honorable chairmen and warriors who was assassinated at the hands of the Chicago Pig Department, Police Department, at the age of 21 years old. And 12/4/1969, killed, assassinated for organizing black youth, organizing the gangs, uniting the hearts and minds of the fractionalized, and teaching them that they are revolutionaries that can change their own condition. I'm talking about the great son of Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. It is, of course, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee and POCC. We want you to come on out and hear him and hear Brother Shaka Shakur with the People's Survival Program and the Black Soldiers. We want you to come and hear the great councilman, that great warrior councilman who was a member of the Black Panther Party back in the 70s and still on the battlefield and still supporting and working with the new Black Panther Party, talking about that great revolutionary councilman, Councilman Charles Barron. We want you to come and hear from our brother from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who used to be a gangster. I mean, I'm talking a hardcore criminal gangster living that thug life, baby. Talking about the great, great Silky Slim, who is well respected amongst many of the quote-unquote gangster rappers in the hip-hop industry. He'll be there talking about stopping the killing and his Stop the Killing initiative. We also have on the list and panel the great revolutionary attorney and that great now mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. That's right, you have a mayor that is an attorney that is a revolutionary, a former member of, or a member, I should say, of the Republic of New Africa. You don't quit the revolution. So a member of the Republic of New Africa, RNA, a Panther, a organizer, talking about the great Honorable Chokwe Lumumba, Mayor Chokwe Lumumba, will be in the house and be with us September the 5th through the 7th, the National Black Family Convention. We want you to hear from that great CEO, and I keep saying great because all of these men and women are great, and you in attendance will be great. We're going to put our greatness together, but that great CEO, and when I say this with a B, hear me well, billionaire, that great billionaire from the black nation who is investing in property and building up properties and taking charge of the economic sector of the black community, showing that it is possible to be able to make some money in this world and not sell your soul, talking about that great CEO, Mike Roberts, And Mike Roberts, Inc., he'll be there. Mike Roberts, and the owner of the Crown Plaza Hotels. Mike Roberts in the house for the National Black Family Convention. And that great warrior on the front lines, and that man who is working to keep the legacies of men like Minister Malcolm X and so many others alive and well. And he is a man who continues to organize the youth and push on the youth's behalf, Dr. James McIntosh. You'll hear from that great minister and warrior who is also keeping Minister Malcolm X's name alive and well, and a man who you heard a few weeks ago on our broadcast. He was here with us, and a man who helped to keep the OAAU of Minister Malcolm X alive and keep that vision going, talking about Professor James Small. He'll be in the house. We also will hear from that great warrior woman, from the Red Nation, the Lakota Nation, the so-called Indians. We call them the Red Man and Red Woman. Warrior woman will be there alive in the flesh in the house. Just be there for that one if you don't come for nothing else. But there's so much more, because you will also hear from that great warrior woman who rode and worked with that great visionary, that great leader, that great teacher and mentor, Sister Queen Mother Moore. We're talking about that great Queen Mother, Dr. Dolores Blakely, who will be there with us right there in Harlem, New York City, this coming September the 5th. Also, that great Booker T. Coleman, that great theologian and great teacher, Booker T. Coleman. And you remember the rap group Brand Nubian? Well, Brand Nubian will also be a part of the National Black Family Convention. And they're going to maybe cut a few jams. And as we say, and the old folks say, cut a rug. Brand Nubian ain't going nowhere. They're going to rock all the old cuts and talk about the importance of saving our youth from the effects of hip-hop and the effects of music on the youth and what we can do to take it back. Talking about be there for our brother and that man who you saw on the Martin show. Well, Martin Lawrence would say, Tommy, you ain't got no job. Well, Tommy got a job. Tommy has plenty of jobs, and he's still working, still hosting, still moving, and still acting. But most importantly, he is concerned about black youth, and he's concerned about what's going on with our people. Talking about that great actor and comedian, Tommy Ford, he'll be there. What about holistic healing, you say, Brother Sean? What about health? Well, we got something for you. We got that great legendary practitioner of holistic medicine, herbal medicine and health, Sister Queen Afua. She'll be there in the house live and in person. I almost said in person. In person, Sister Queen Afua. Also, the brother who just debated our national chairman just this past Sunday. He just came out of a debate talking about is sovereignty the way for black people? Can we be free while under, or can we be sovereign while under white supremacy? I'm talking about a man who is known as Brother Amon-Re Sun Amtum-Re, but we know him as Brother Polite. He'll be there. Or what about that RBG, another RBG, revolutionary but gangster? We got that for you. We got that brother from the Black Power Cartel. The Black Power Cartel calls himself and says he's a 7-star general, talking about General Sarah Sutan Seti. But General Sarah Sutan Seti will be in the house, the general of the Black Power Cartel, for the National Black Family Convention and the Million Youth March. And just what I named right there for you, and that's not even it, but just what I named there for you, now that is worth the price of admission. That right there is way more than what we're paying. And all you're paying for the National Black Family Convention is $10. We're not busting any heads at all. We want to make this comfortable so that all of our people can get right on in. We just want to be able to pay for the lights and cut the lights on. But all it is $10, 10 in advance. Get your tickets. You go to MillionYouthMarch2013.com. MillionYouthMarch2013.com, and you can order your tickets online. But from Thursday to Friday to Saturday, there's so many activities. There's a new youth leadership forum talking about gentrification and the black family, talking about stopping the killing, talking about education and global challenges for our youth, economics and the black family, law and justice and political prisoners and new school leaders and up-and-coming and rising stars and hip-hop and the black family. And, of course, we're going to be going further into that main rally on Saturday, which will feature many of the great talents in our black nation. There's going to be plenty of music for you. Those of you who are musically inclined and those of you who like a little rhythm and dance and soul and spirit, we got that for you. This coming Black Family Convention, there's going to be plenty of music, plenty of performances, plenty of lineups. This is something that you do not want to miss. You want to be there to talk about countering the conspiracy to destroy black boys and the black family and us fighting against homosexuality and gay marriages and black economics and entrepreneurship and the health crisis with our people and our educational challenges. And you want to hear about the gangs and the gang summits and the children being bullied in schools and colleges. And what about the college students? We're going to talk about black college students and their role in our liberation and black fathers and black families and hope for the black man and black woman. And we're going to talk about the criminal justice system and police brutality. And we're going to talk about black family and religion and political prisoners. And we're going to talk about media and constructing positive black youth paradigms and images. And we're going to talk about controlling the politics of our community so that black people and black youth don't have to deal with a two-party system, Democrat, Republican. We're going to talk about our interests. This is where you want to be. And we are right about a week away, really. A little over a week away. From the 28th now. So, we're just about a week away from one of the most monumentous occasions that you will ever be able to set your eyes on. And so if there's any way possible, if you have to get in a boat, if you got to get in a plane, a train, a canoe, if you got to get on the back of a camel or a dog or slither with a snake, you make your way to Harlem, New York, 125th Street, Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard, to be a part of the National Black Family Convention and the Million Youth March. And much support and much love goes out to all of the organizers, everybody in every part of the country who is helping to make this event a success. Every one of you who are out there working in your local organizing committees and every one of you who are out there working to make this thing happen, we say revolutionary salute to you. Panther salute to you who are working to make sure that this is something that our people can benefit from and something that we can take home and something that we can use. Now, let me tell you that this is not just a march. We don't intend to come in and just be marching in place and left face and right face and about face. And no, we don't intend to do that. We are coming in, creating a movement for our people. If you're really concerned about the youth in your city or the youth that are in your family, then this is the place for you. We are making a movement, and we are crossing political lines, and we are crossing ideological lines, and we are crossing our spiritual lines in terms of being a Christian or a Muslim or a Hebrew or a Buddhist or a Baptist or non-denominational or a Shiite or a Hanafi or Hanbali or whatever your spiritual. We're crossing all of that. We're coming together on our blackness and coming together on our commonalities. And on that weekend of September the 5th through the 7th, there's a national truce. We are asking all of our family to stop fighting with one another and call truce. We don't want to say the white flag. Wave the black flag. wave the red, black, and green flag, and let's call truce amongst ourselves, and let's sort through whatever we're going through. There's not too much that can't be talked about or dealt with the proper counsel. And so let's talk about it as civilized men and women, and let's work, because while most of us in different parts of the world are busy fighting one with the other, there is an enemy that is out there actively working to offset your and my destiny. And they already know that you and me are people of destiny and a people of rhythm and a people of soul. They already know that we are connected to a divine creator that has blessed us from the moment of our birth and has processed us to be the greatest people of any people that have ever lived on the face of the planet. No matter where you find us, we are always striving for excellence and always working our magic, but it just happens so naturally. It's nothing spooky. It's nothing crazy. You're just a naturally good person. You're a naturally great man. You're a naturally great woman. We are that. We're naturally that. We are just everything else by circumstance. And we have been put in a condition that has made us fight for survival, one against the other, black against another black, family against another family, group against another group. We have been pit one against the other because those who do not want to see us on top and those who do not want to see us survive and thrive and be great, it saves the work for them. That's why Willie Lynch came in. That's why they put Willie Lynch to work, because they did not want to continue to chase after the slave who was running for freedom. They did not want to continue to try to break the slave's will and to break the slave's back and to strip the slave of language and culture and folkway and foray and norm and strip the ex-slave of power. They didn't want to do that. That takes a lot of energy. So they brought in Willie Lynch to craft a system where you pit people against themselves based upon differences. You pit them against each other based upon stations in life or where they live at or who has the best job or who has coarse or kinky hair versus who has very thin hair. Who is light-skinned, as he say, on the plantation versus the person that's dark-skinned. He pits the male against the female, pits the young against the old, pits the tall against the short. Pits them all against each other based upon the differences that God gave us from the beginning. And so while we're fighting each other on differences, then Willie Lynch and those with the Willie Lynch mentality can come in and rob you black people of land and rob us of name and rob us of culture and rob us of African spirituality and rob us of education. They robbed the libraries and took the Library of Luxor and took Timbuktu and took what we had, and they used it for themselves, and they begin to build up Greece, and they build up Britain, they build up Europe, they build up Rome, they build their empire off of your black knowledge and our black knowledge, and they teach you and me a watered-down false interpretation of history to steer us in the wrong direction. They start teaching you about George Washington and teaching you about Abraham Lincoln supposedly freeing slaves and start teaching you about everything that their people did, and they teach you nothing about yourself. And so when our youth go to school today, when your young boys go to school today, and the young girl goes to school today, they don't learn anything about their culture. They don't learn anything about their history. They don't learn anything about their greatness. They don't learn anything about how beautiful it is to be black. And so they grow up hating themselves. And they grow up hating the darkness of their skin. They grow up hating the thickness of their lips. They hate the broadness of their nose. They hate the kinkiness of their hair. And so you see them using bleaching cream. You see them wearing colored contacts in their eyes. You see them dyeing and bleaching their hair blonde, anything at all to try to look other than black or to look white and Caucasian, because in this world, in this society, white is right or light is right. and black is whack, or black is to get back. And so there's an assault on the black male and female mind. And so when you hate yourself and you don't love yourself and you don't want to be yourself, you start to do things other than self. And so our youth are acting out in the streets. They're killing one another over small things, petty things, trying to fight for respect and fight for credibility because they don't have it in the home. The home is broken apart. The family unit is broken apart. Our motherhood is broken apart. Our fatherhood is broken apart. Our very being is broken apart. And so you have a broken people who are yearning to come back together, and every time we make an effort to come back together, there's an intervention that gets in the way, and it's called a system of white supremacy. White supremacy is a system that gets in the way of black unity. Every time we try to come together, when Malcolm X, Minister Malcolm X, tried to bring us together, white supremacy took him down. When Martin Luther King Jr. tried to pull us together, even though he had a few sprinkles of white and others in there, the principle was the same. When he tried to pull us together, white supremacy pulled us down. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tried to pull us together and had banks and had farmland and had schools, independent schools for black children, white supremacy pulled that down. Okay, when the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey worked to pull black people together with the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the UNIA, when he worked to pull us together and had the Black Star Line and steam line ships, and he had a standing army and thousands upon thousands of black men and women dressing up in uniforms, respecting themselves and taking charge of their community to do for self and be black nationalists. And he was saying Africa for the African. It was white supremacy that stood in the way of the UNIA and the ultimate success of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And we could say the same thing for so many other great brothers and sisters who have worked amongst black people and have worked to come and get us up out of this condition. White supremacy has kept us in this position. And so as our great sages used to say, you have to know your enemy and you have to know yourself. You have to know your enemy and you have to know yourself. And so you got to know that white supremacy is your enemy. White supremacy, that's white domination, that is the enemy of black power and black nationalism and freedom for you. If you're trying to be free in America, or trying to be free in the Isles of the Pacific, or trying to be free in Canada, trying to be free in Australia, wherever you're at, if you're black, you must fight against white supremacy. Dr. Neely Fuller taught and teaches that if you don't understand white supremacy, everything else will just confuse you. If you don't understand white supremacy, everything else will just confuse you. So it is white supremacy that we must understand. It is white supremacy that we must fight against. And so that's what the Million Youth March is pushing towards. We're pushing towards killing the Negro within self, killing the nigger within self, as some say, and crushing the white supremacy within us. And so tonight, we're going to talk, of course, about the Million Youth March and get further into the details. But we're also going to hear from our brother, who has been on a hiatus for a couple of shows, and there's a reason why he has not been with us for a couple of shows. He was locked down in DeKalb County, Georgia. He's, you know, for those who have been following his case and following him, he has been fought against by the state of Georgia for several months. He first ran into a situation standing up for young brother Trayvon Martin. He stood up for Trayvon Martin on CNN Live with Don Lemon, and he announced to the world the wishes and aspirations of the residents, black residents within Sanford, Florida, and those who are on the ground and other professionals who at that time, when George Zimmerman was on the run and he knew he had committed a crime and knew he had committed a murder, but that because his dad was a magistrate judge with power and authority, mom had power and authority and money talks, and he was already well known within the Sanford Police Department and already had people that were there on the inside, that he didn't get arrested and they did not charge him with the murder of Trayvon Martin, and there were those on the inside that put pressure on others who wanted to charge him to let him go and to let him skate free. And so ultimately George Zimmerman walked the streets of Florida and other areas for around 42 days. This is in 2012 in February. He walked free for 42 or 45 days. I think it was 45 days he walked free, until finally the great Minister Hashim Nzinga and the new Black Panther Party, under the vision of attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, put out a reward for his capture after reading the law. You know, going back to that great Minister Huey P. Newton, knowing and understanding the law and knowing what it means to be sovereign, which means to have control of a geographical location, and jurisprudence, which means to have a knowledge of the law. Our national chairman, being an attorney, knew that law and knew that when a crime had been committed and the police departments or the authorities, local authorities, failed to act and do their duty and to charge in the instance of a crime, that it was the duty or it was lawful for the citizens of Sanford and the citizens throughout the county and area to organize to bring that criminal to justice. And so you heard him say it when he was being interviewed by that snaky, slithery snake, that slinky, slithery snake, Sean Hannity. You heard him say it. There was the new Black Panther Party that he was afraid of because he knew we had put pressure on him. And we ultimately forced him to be coughed up with an organized $10,000 and the will of the people, backed by God Almighty and the ancestors, coughed George Zimmerman up. And it ultimately was shown that he was in protective custody, being protected and hidden by the same ones who were supposed to be searching for him in terms of capture for committing murder to our young black youth and young black male, 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. And so it was Minister Hashim Nzinga who made the first bold announcement on CNN, and almost instantaneously, the moment that he made that bold announcement, he was, we used to say back in the day, vamped on. He was vamped on or moved on by the city of DeKalb County or Georgia, and they had arrested him, swarmed on him for allegedly being a person with a criminal past or a past history in possession of a firearm, none of which was true and none of which was factual. And so if you can remember, we in Black Power Radio, on Black Power Radio, we were doing rallying cries and we were organizing for people to know the state of Minister Hashim Nzinga and to be made aware of what he was going through and what was going on. And so he had been back and forth, and finally he was free. And we began to circulate the pictures of him being free. And he had a white T-shirt on and glasses, black glasses. And we were showing you that Minister Hashim Nzinga was out and that he was ready to go to work. And that's exactly what he did. He began to go to work and organize, picking up right where he left off and really moving quicker than where he left from, with a renewed spirit and more fire. And so he's been going back and forth. And so the last couple of weeks, we hadn't had a Wednesday show because if you can remember, the last show that we had, Minister Hashim Nzinga said that he was going to check in to his probation officer. And that next day, when he went to check in, he was locked down again on some phony, trumped-up violation. And so we didn't have a show for the past couple of weeks while pushing and holding it down for Minister Hashim and Zinger and still organizing on behalf of the Million Youth March. Well, we're happy to say tonight that Minister Hashim and Zinger is out and free. And he will be joining us tonight, and he'll be joining us here in a few moments with his attorney. Now, this attorney that's coming on, if you look on the website, MillionYouthMarch2013.com, you'll be able to see a great freedom fighter and a great attorney, a man who is a lover of justice. And when I say justice, I'm talking black justice for black people. And you can see him there on our website with a shiny bald head. Just something about bald-headed brothers, I guess. We come together. And so if you look on the website, you see it. It says, breaking news, $10 million lawsuit with DeKalb County. $10 million lawsuit for DeKalb County. DeKalb County. Our National Chief of Staff, Minister Hashim and Zinger, plans to go forward. I'm not even going to tell you the details. I'll let him tell you. But he plans to go forward with $10,000 because these beasts are harassing our brother now, and harassing him so much to the point to where it's almost unbearable. But he can take it. He's a warrior. And ultimately, we're happy to say that they dropped his charges. Last I heard, dropped the charges. But he's going to go into all of that with you all and tell you the ins and outs and talk about being approached by other agencies and all kind of things that happened during that period of time. And it's just to let you know that this is a serious struggle, and that when we're working on behalf of black youth, and in particular black people, that you have to have committed men and women who, no matter what they go through, are willing to hold the line and meet you on the other side, no matter what they go through. We want to send a congratulations to Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and all of those who were with him this past Sunday for the debate against Brother Polite. Might have been Saturday. I got my dates mixed up here. But for this past, Sunday, at the debate, as he was declared the winner by the judges of the debate, is sovereignty, or can you be free or sovereign while under white supremacy, against our brother who will be there at the Million Youth March, Brother Polite and New Covenant. Congratulations to Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and congratulations for all of those who organized this past Monday, the 26th, and Tuesday, the 27th. And the 26th, there was a New York Mayoral Candidates Forum, New York Mayoral Candidates Forum held by the Million Youth March, talking about Anthony Weiner and and the rest of the mayor candidates. That was on the 26th. And the 27th, they had an open town hall meeting in Harlem, New York, with New York police officials on stop and frisk and racial profiling. And so you know how them little pita bread pigs do. They line their little troops up with their brass, and you know they do their thing. And the Black Nation and the new Black Panther Party and the Million Youth March organizers, we had our troops lined up. And we wasn't taking no pot shots from behind no radio. We're live and in person, in the flesh, talking about the harassment that these beasts do to our people. And this illegal stop and frisk that they are doing to quickly incarcerate black youth and people of color. Just anybody they deem suspicious, run up on you and pat you down, or check to see if you got anything on you. They can put you in the cell for this stop and frisk. It's just like the apartheid laws of South Africa. The same thing that went on there goes on here. And so we want to send a congratulatory thanks and thank you to all of those who helped organize for the 26th, and all of you who helped organize for the 27th, and all of you who are organizing now. to help Minister Hashim Nzinga win his case and win against the state of Georgia and the county of DeKalb. And, hell, $10 million, you can do a lot. You can do a lot with $10 million, hell. So he's going to, of course, tell you much, much more about that. But remember, it's millions for Trayvon. And so we want to keep the memory of Brother Trayvon Martin alive and keep the memory of Brother Sean Bell alive and keep the memory of Brother Oscar Grant alive and keep the memory of Brother Ramali Graham alive and keep the memory of Shaka Sankofa, Brother Gary Graham alive, and just keep the memory of Sister Rekia Boyd alive and Sister Teresa Odessa alive and all of our brothers and sisters who have been victimized by the various police agencies and state forces around the country. Keep their names alive, and in this hour, remember Sister Asada Shakur, as the state of New Jersey has increased her bounty, her wanted capture, for $2 million. It was $1 million, now $2 million for the capture of a woman who didn't do any wrong. Her only crime was being black and fighting against injustice against her people. And so she was shot on the New Jersey Turnpike by an officer with her hands up and arrested for attempted murder on a police officer. Listen, I mean, think about that. She shot with her hands up, but she arrested and charged as if she did something wrong. And so we must think about that. And we must do something about that. We must do something about that. We must stop the wanton killing of our young black boys and girls. We must stop the wanton endangerment of our young black boys and girls. We got to do something. Bottom line, we have to do something, and we are doing something. And we're looking to go forward with a mighty movement for our people and a mighty effort for our people. So it feels good. And, we like James Brown tonight. We feel good. We feel good like a black man and black woman should tonight, because black people are on the rise. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. When you see one thing going down, you know something is coming up. When you see the white man's world going down and them going buck wild crazy, you automatically know that the black world is coming up and that the black world is rising and that we are doing something for ourselves, and it feels good. Feels great. So let me take a call here. We got just a few moments. We're going to bring Minister Hashim Nzinga in at the top of the hour, and he's going to take us further, him and Brother Mawali Davis, Attorney Mawali Davis. Let's take a call here as we push forward. Your area code is 469-544-469-544. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Your host, Brother Sean Saddam Kweli. Minister Hashim is going to sue the state of Georgia. Give us your question, your comment, please. Black Power.
Peace, Black Power family. First off, I just want to say thank you to the head, you know. Welcome back to Brother Hashim. Welcome back on the line. You know, man, it's not nothing new, man. They're going to come after the good characters and try to make us the bad character of the movie, you know, but the acting role, the winning role goes after those who play it best. So we do what we do, man. We know locked up and jail. All that come with the ticket, man. We do this. We put this uniform on that come with the ticket, you know. So we know what to expect. But, you know, the enemy never wins. You know, the enemy never wins. We play the game the way we do it. But, Sean, you boys doing a hell of a job. You know, man, you march, we'll kick it out. It's going to be a great success. Just, you know, people got to continue to do what they do. And we got to continue to stand up and hold the line and do what we do. You know, I ain't gone. I'm here. You know, it is what it is.
That's right. Absolutely. That's the Minister of Defense, National Minister of Defense of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, brother. So this is Brother D.K. Brown, Brother D.K. Brother, just tell us your thoughts on the upcoming Million Youth March, your expected attendance, and, you know, what we can expect there, in your words. What can we expect?
For the Million Youth March, man, I can't say what to expect as far as the feeling, but I can say you can expect the presence, man, of black people united on the front. You can expect the preparedness. Won't be caught with our pants. Wasn't caught down the first year, you know, but we won't be caught slipping like last time. Won't be no pants down. It's gonna be a hands-on situation. I believe that I believe it's gonna pick up from just being a New York issue and a Cincinnati issue to an issue where it'll be something that'll be continuous. Kind of like the National Day of Action was, it began to become contained, so people begin to stand up everywhere. But if you could tell, every time, you know, we get to doing something major and something big, they start coming after us and try to weaken us, but it never happens. It never falls. It never fails, never fails, never fails. They do it. So, you know, you can prepare for mass. And what the enemy needs to prepare for is the eyes of the youth are already open, but the hearts of the youth, all right, and the youth are going to step up and take some of our spots so they can hang it up, man, because they're going to have generations of warfare after this. So it is what it is. So, you know, the people are prepared. So, you know, on that day, man, you know, I plan to see us come together, man, and I want to see the street tribes go ahead and organize the right way, man, and cut out the BS, man, and come on with it and just jump all the way online. And if anything do jump out crazy, man, I plan to see the people fall in the ranks with us the right way, and we, you know, come out on top like we always do. But my attendance for the march, you know what I mean, it's etched in stone, hold on 1 minute, it's etched in stone, you know, and it is what it is, man, we're going to touch down. But as far as being prepared, man, I hope that they prepare for us, because we definitely prepare for them. So, you know, it is what it is, man. We done on the ground. Y'all got to forgive me. I'm driving and rolling and hitting humps right now. But, hey, I tuned in, so I'm on mission.
Yes, sir. We understand you're on the move, brother. Just wanted to get your perspective on it. And the people need to hear from my National Minister of Defense, who is working hard to make sure that when you brothers and sisters come to this Million Youth March and this National Black Family Convention, that everything is safe and secure, and we won't have an issue like we had 15 years ago with crazy mayors like Rudy Giuliani, and this time Bloomberg, you know, sick police on the people because they're mad about deadlines. Not this time, Cracker. It's not this time.
If the devil raised his hand that day and play that game, you know, we're not playing that game. It's, you know, I think that through our time, we learn from our mistakes, and at the same time, we learn from their mistakes. And that year, they made a big mistake, but this year, I mean, everything has been well planned out, everything has been well thought out. So, I mean, through the help of great people like Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, I mean, we can't discuss tax over the phone, but, you know, hey, we've been there, we saw what we need to see, we know what we need to do. So all we have to do is get the people there, and the people need to come there with the right spirit. And if you're God-given and you're God-led, we can't fight, we can't fail, and we refuse to turn back. So, you know, we can't have nothing but success on that day. But as far as a defensive plan for that day, man, I just hope don't nobody come at us in a crazy way to where we have to defend ourselves, because, I mean, with the spirits as high as they'll be that day, I mean, hey, we got to stand by what we live by, freedom or death. So it is what it is.
That's right. Again, we expect it to be a family-friendly event, and we know that things are in place to make sure that it is that. And like you say, the spirit is high. And so the ancestors, God Almighty, is blessed to be successful. And so we look forward to everything that you'll present, brother, and everything that you got for us. And we already feel good. We feel safe already. So, Black Power, see you in New York City.
Black Power.
That, brothers and sisters, is our National Minister of Defense, Brother D.K. He's calling in letting you know it is what it is, that everything is good. So there you have it. You have it from the National Minister of Defense. Everything is safe, secure. Bring your family. Bring your children. It's all good. Relax. We need to get one of them little signs like they have on the McDonald's. This is a safe place. We need to get one of them yellow signs and say, this is a safe place. There's going to be so much security in the house and all of that. You're going to be good. You ain't even going to have to worry about nothing. And so we're going to focus in on getting our youth. And like our brother just said, there's also, again, a national truce. And that's amongst the gangs or street tribes as well. And the street tribes within us. And so we want to pull warring factions together. We want to come together as one family like never before. Let's make God proud and our families proud. Let's make the memory and legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad proud and do it right. He founded this Million Youth March. We are working on the blood, sweat, and tears of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And it's being revisited and renewed through our National Chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and all of the organizers from back then who helped to make it a success. We know it's not a one-man or a one-woman show, but all of the organizers who helped to organize and make it a success back then, and make it a success again in 99, and make it a success again in the Black Power General's last Youth March, which was in 2000. And then for Attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz to bring it back in 2003. And now, 15 years later, we come full circle to Harlem, New York City, on Adam Clayton Powell on 125th Street. This is truly historic, and we hope to have this all professionally videoed and photographed so that we can store this one in the history books. You know, sometimes us as Panthers, we get to rolling and moving and doing what we do, and we forget to store it and keep our history together. We forget to take down a note or two, or to write it down, or to photograph, or to video, or to put something on record. So something like this, we will make sure that this is on the record for our children and our children's children and our great children's children, so that they know in 2013, when others were selling out, some were giving up, some had lost the fight, some had lost the faith, some had just wanted to take the easy road, that there were some warriors in the midst of America, in the great beast, the Leviathan 666, the great whore of Revelations that sit on many waters, that there were some black men and some black women in 2013 who have not given up, who are still strong, and who still have the spirit of Africa in us, and still have the spirit of resistance and rebellion in us, and still have the warrior spirit of a Yah Santiwa in us, and a great queen in Zinga right here in us, and that when you attack our youth, that we go to war with your behind. When you kill our babies in the streets, we go to battle on your behind, and there is no relenting on the battle to free our youth. When you attack that beehive, that bee, even though it knows it only has one stinger, and it knows that once it relinquishes its stinger into your body, it itself will die. When you go to attack that beehive, and you go to attack that queen, and you attack the colony and their babies with inside that beehive, them bees come out at you with everything they got. Everything they got, they lay it on the line to protect their colony, their queen, and their youth. And so what the hell do you think black people gonna do and are doing? What do you think we're going to do when we watch a Trayvon Martin be executed before the world, when a George Zimmerman gets off and is found not guilty, and they subsequently charge Trayvon Martin and black youth in general? What do you think black people are going to do? How do you think we're supposed to feel? Hell no, we ain't singing no "We Shall Overcome" and "Let's Go Along to Get Along." We are singing "We Shall Overrun," as the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad taught. And so it is that hour where we have to do what we got to do. And we have to begin to build our independent schools for our youth and begin to teach our own and begin to shepherd our own. We'll take another call here, and then we'll get prepared to hear from our National Chief of Staff, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Your area code is 504-432. 504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio, your host, Sean Saddam Kweli. Minister Hashim, going to sue Georgia. What's your thoughts, your comment, please, Black Power?
Black Power, Black Power, Brother Sean, you know, I feel that inspiration, you know, the way how you're talking, you're uplifting my spirits and stuff like that, you know. Because I say in today's time, the world that we're living in, up under white supremacy, we need this kind of talk. Because, see, many of our people, they don't want to talk like this anymore. Many of them just gotten away from that. 60s and 70s used to hear all that, but now a lot of our people got away from that. They don't want to hear that, and many of us don't want to accept the truth. This is why we're going through as a people. This is what we're going through. But this is a question. This is the question that I want to ask you. Matter of fact, I got to get those Panther those shirts. I got to get that. I got to have it.
Absolutely,
but in it,
it's there.
Okay, now. I want to ask a question up on the Panther Party. Isn't it true that the government, they set up different, they put agents out there and they came up with different chapters of the Panther Party and they organized criminal activity and they got them all landed in jail? I just want your thoughts up on that, brother.
That is a part of Panther history where the United States government, through the use of the program COINTELPRO, inserted agents and provocateurs within the movement and had people to dress up like Panthers and to act like Panthers, but to do things that no Panther would do and to take part and participate in certain criminalities and to do things that would cause or give leeway to the police to move on a chapter or a particular headquarters or an area where Panthers were stationed. And so that is a very ancient war tactic that the enemies used against the Black Panthers of the 60s and used against the Panthers of the 70s, and they try to use it against the new Black Panther Party today. And we are not under any illusion that everybody who dresses up in a black beret or a black uniform or wears black boots or has the Panther patch on or pin on, that they are all righteous men and women, or that they are, you know, sincere for the cause. Some people, I'm not saying I know who they are, but some within the ranks of every black organization are agents and provocateurs and people who are inserted into this mission to cause problems and spy and to cause confusion and to disrupt and to discredit and to stop the movement. That is why they are there. You can never expect to be a champion without an opponent. We, brother, will not get free without going through some very tumultuous times and going through some serious opposition. There is no easy pathway to freedom. There's no easy pathway to liberation. There's no way we can cut around the corner and skip past stage one and skip to stage five. We can't do that. We have to go step by step, brick by brick, mortar by mortar, walk by walk to liberation. It's a long road and it's a process. And many people confuse revolution with an event, or they confuse liberation with an event. Revolution is a process. And it goes stage by stage until its eventual completion or perfection. And so, yes, sir, there were agents inserted then, and they make use of agents today. But it's kind of foolish with all the technology that these white folks have and people in power have, that they can just, you know, zoom in on you and look at you, or they can listen to you from miles away. And so the black brother or sister who is foolish enough to put their life in jeopardy, spying on a righteous movement like this, a peaceful movement like this, unless you attack us. You put yourself in danger, Black Spy. You put yourself in danger, Sister Provocateur, because we're not going to play with you if we find you. If we find out that you are a provocateur, you're an agent. You are somebody paid to come in and make mischief and to spy and to disrupt and to try to discredit or stop this movement. We in the new Black Panther Party will not play with you. There are too many men and women who have given up so much and sacrificed their lives, and men like Hashim and Zynga, and sisters like Sister Mira Sankofa, and so many who have faced jail time for the mission and been locked down, for you to play games with the people and to play games with the people's future and destiny. And so somebody has to be strong, brother. And so when we see these agents and these spies, we deal with them in the same manner that America deals with her agents and spies, or people who are spying on America. We deal with them sternly. And so we hope that they never exist, number one. We would hope and think in a perfect world that they are not even here. But we know we're not in a perfect world. And so we hope we never come across them and that they are unsuccessful in all that they do. And we pray to Almighty God that we're able to suck up enough of the air so that they cannot breathe and they choke in their sleep tonight. And that's our prayer, brother.
All right, brother. Thanks for the information, brother. And y'all doing a good job, you know. Y'all number one in my book.
All right, my brother. Well, you're number one with us. Thank you so much for listening. Continue to listen. We're going to bring on Minister Hashim and Zynga now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much. Black power and soul power to you. Brothers and sisters, at this time, as I told you, we're at the top of the hour, and we want to bring on the man who we've been telling you about, who is going to push forth to give the devil's hell as they've been giving him hell, and to seek some justice for himself and some vindication. I'm going to let him tell you, and hope that he tells you all about it. Please welcome to Black Power Radio our National Chief of Staff in the new Black Panther Party. This is Minister Hashim N. Zynga. Black Power, welcome to the radio broadcast for the minister.
Liberation, right?
Liberation.
Black Power. Brother Sean, like always, man, it's just awesome, awesome, man, to hear you going across these radio waves, giving our people what they need. You need to check your text. Did you check your text?
I'll check it right now.
Okay. So, deal is, we got 16 workshops next week. We got Counting the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. We got the Black Family and Homosexuality, Gay Marriage, Are the Compatible? Are they compatible? We got Black Family, Black Economics, Entrepreneurship. We got Health Crisis and the Black Family Community Solutions to the Health Crisis. We got the Black Family, the Educational Challenge. We got the Black Scholars Message to the Parents and the Youth, Gang Summit and Bullying. We got Black College Students, their role in our liberation. We got the Black Father in the Black Family, All Is Not Lost. Number nine, we got the Black Family and the Gentrification Movement Against Our Community, Land and Housing Reclaim Formation. Number 10, we got the Million Youth March 15th Anniversary Fashion Show. You know how we like to wear them clothes, hopefully made by us. Number 11, we got Post-Million Youth Anniversary Battle Plans. Number 12, we got the Criminal Justice System, Police Brutality. Number 13, Sunday, Black Family Day, Religion and Political Prisoners. 14, the International Paradigm of Our Black Youth. International, I love it, all over the world. 15, we got the Black Control the power of controlling media to construct black youth paradigm. Can we change this image that they put on TV and on radio and on rap about our black youth? Number 16, controlling the politics of your community. Brother Sean, that's just the 16 panels and the workshops that will be going on at Adam Clayton Powell State Office Building next week, the 5th through the 7th, on 125th and 7th Avenue. Man, what can we do when we say in the middle of that we got $1 million for Trayvon and we got the 15th anniversary of the Million Youth March? What can we say? Are we still on? Why are we saying this? Black Power. Brother, we got so many people that's going to be joining us. Brother Chukwe Lumumba, mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, where Mega Evers was shot down like a dog. Brother Fun B, out there rapping, been rapping for years, and now teaching over at Rice University. Got Fred Hampton Jr., got Vanessa Williams, national CEO of the Black Mayors. Got people like, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. There's just so many, man. It's just, when I'm looking at this lineup, I get excited. Brother Sean, are you back on with us?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Okay. And so, as you know, we got a guest coming on. Have you put him up yet?
Putting him up right now. What's his area code?
404-391.
Okay, he's not in the queue yet.
Call him yourself. Can you do that?
All right.
Can you do that and bring him up?
Not at this time, no sir. He's at the. My line is tied up.
That's okay. Let me. I grab him after I say these couple of words. Man, people are upset. They upset, Sean, when you can get a little scrappy to do a song about Trayvon, the man who's coming up next, and I'll let you introduce him, is Lil Scrappy's attorney. People upset when you can get Dr. Jeffries and Dr. Smalls and Bun B and Tommy Ford and Vanessa Williams and six or seven mayors, and when you can grab people like the Dungy family and his overintelligence, traveling world daughter, and when you can bring Dr. King's people in, Charles Steele, and when you can bring in black business owners, and when you can bring in people like the New York mayor, I call him the New York mayor, but they call him a city councilman, Charles Burnett. And then when you can bring in world-renowned lawyers like Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, and you can bring in Trill Entertainment and bag them with a billionaire who owns 57 companies, who have employed over 11,000 black people in his lifetime, Dr. Michael V. Roberts of the Roberts Group. Then you can turn around and bring the great sisters who got one of our few black publications, black owned, on the shelves all over the world, Sister to Sister, Sister Jamie Foster. And then you can call on our old soldier and the founder of Proline Hair Care, our big brother Como Cottrell. And then you can come right back and have people like the Scream Tour and brother Michael Mullen, who Jermaine Dupri's father, who did so much for the youth with the Scream Tour. It just go on and on and on, and we ain't even ran this list so long. We never really get into it, but and then they mad because Nick Cannon said we're coming to New York. It's just such a great day for our people, man. When we finally started to come together, rich, poor, athletes, entertainers, educators, attorneys, and we understand where we at right now, man. And people are mad, and you know we do what we do, they do what they do, but we're gonna save these babies. So right now, Brother Sean, if you still don't see the 404-391 in the queue yet?
No, sir, not yet.
All right, well, I'll get him on, but we're about to bring on my great friend and Attorney Shabazz, great friend and friend of the New Black Panther Party, brother out of Chicago, been with the Malcolm X grad movement, been a revolutionary since he was born. But like Attorney Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, he became a warrior attorney, and he tears Georgia apart. And we're talking about Mawali Davis. We're going to get him on in a minute, the brother who came to my rescue and worked with the black family to make sure that I could keep doing what I do and told me don't worry about it. And when I got him coming on, I'll be quiet and let him talk. Let me grab him for his brother, Sean.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, brothers and sisters, we are going to just hold tight as our National Chief of Staff goes and grabs Attorney Mawali Davis. And we say revolutionary attorney, Brother Mawali Davis, will be on with us in just a few moments. And as always, we thank you for listening with us. And if you'd like to donate to the broadcast, I have to tell you this information. If you'd like to donate to this broadcast and to keep us on the air, you can either go to attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com via PayPal. That's attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com via PayPal. Or just drop us a few bucks or some chucks at our P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 11757, Louisville, Kentucky. 11757, Louisville, Kentucky, 40211. Oh, that's in specific even to donate to the Million Youth March, which, of course, you always can, and we need the help. Do that same, attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. Attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com for PayPal. And donate to the Million Youth March 2013. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, brother should be calling in now. I'm just going to let everybody know because I appreciate Sean. I know you told him I was held hostage again, but I ain't talking about that because we know Geronimo Pratt did that for 27 years. We know Brother Jamil Amin has been held hostage now for life with no chance of parole. We know that Mandela did it 27 years. Malcolm did it 7 years. Garvey did it 5. Elijah did it 5. They got all kind of, you got to pay dues, so we don't even worry about it. But we do, thank God, respect the justice system to the point where we'll go get us some black freedom-fighting attorneys like the one finna come on. And when you got an attorney like him, I don't have to do no talking. When you deal with attorneys like Brother Davis who finna come on, and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, man, we just keep doing what we do and stay in our lane, you know what I mean? And we never let our people hear from us that we make our decisions of justice and we deal with Mayotte balance and justice from the Mayotte point of view. We never let our people even consider that we make our decisions based on people like J. Edgar Hoover and people who set up a system to quiet us. And when we go to that Black Bible, we know that Joseph had to sit in there, and Daniel had to sit in there, and Paul had to sit in there. And hell, the man that we all respect and that is mentioned all over the world, hell, they crucified him. Why are we going to cry, man? We're ready to go to work. Is my big brother on there yet?
Hasn't got it yet. Still waiting for him.
Okay, no problem. 44391.
Yes, sir. We're still waiting on.
Okay. So I'm just glad, man, that we understand and Dr. Khalid Muhammad got us well ready to fight this battle, man. You know, if you're going to get out and tell the truth and deal with truth, just be truthful, man, and deal with truth and truth will come to you because at the end, God make all the decisions. And he's going to be with what? Righteousness. And what is righteousness going to do? He said you don't get a lamp and put it under the bed. You put it on the pole and light up the city, man. You say what you do in the closet, he's going to put it the rooftop, man.
That's right.
This is nothing but the Bible fulfilling itself. And, you know, when they said somebody saw this revolutionary black Messiah, the third day after he rose, they were shocked to see him, but he had told them he was going to do it. Don't be shocked. Just have faith.
That's right.
You know? Let me grab Dr. Davis right quick, and I'll come right back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's true. Just having some faith, the grade of a mustard seed, and it takes faith to do this kind of work, the Million Youth March, and put on these kind of events. It takes some faith. We're talking about faith of dedicated men and women. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, National Chairman, has faith. Minister Hashim Nzinga, National Chief of Staff, has faith. Sean Saddam Carly, National Spokesman, got faith. New Black Panther Party, we got faith. But faith without works is dead. So we're not just sitting around hoping and wishing. We are going to work, and we want to invite you to do the same. Go to work with us. You can work with us. Some of you out there have wanted to be a Panther all of your life. Some of you out there, your family was Panthers, and your uncle might have been a Panther. Mother might have been a Panther. You might just have Panther in your blood, but you never knew that the Panther Party was still around or that the Panthers still exist. Some of you believe the Panthers were done, but you liked their works. You may have saw the movie Panther. You might have read a book by one of the OG Panthers. Or you may have saw that great, bold, bald-headed black man, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, stand down the Ku Klux Klan in Jasper, Texas. And you might have saw them stand up for Greenville, Texas, when they were burning black churches and they had their shotguns in hand and locked and loaded. You might have saw Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz when he was there moving against the police and fighting police in the park. You might have saw all of that, and you might want to be a Panther yourself. So if you're inspired to do that, then you go to nbpphq@yahoo.com and stand up and get suited and booted. We'll bring back Minister Hashim Nzinga and our guest attorney, Mawali Davis. Welcome to the broadcast, and welcome back.
Man, I'm so excited. I gave Mawali his own number to call. So he's going to call your number now, brother. He said, man, I really want me to call my own number. That's why you got to have analytical attorneys, man, and they don't do this stuff yourself. I'd be crazy as hell out here trying to do what Brother Mawali did. But you should have been queued up any minute now.
He's ready. Our guest is here, Brother Mawali Davis, Attorney Mawali Davis. Welcome to the radio broadcast.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I'm excited about it. Calling in from Atlanta, from Decatur, Georgia. You know, Decatur where it's greater.
Decatur where it's greater. Yes, sir.
How
yes, sir.
You doing?
Brother, I'm doing excellent, sir. We are trying to get updated on what's happening with you. And I saw you myself on the reality TV show there with
Love and Hip Hop with Lil Scrappy.
Love and Hip Hop. You were there on Love and Hip Hop with Lil Scrappy.
Hey, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
Brother Sean, let me say this right quick. Brother
sure.
Mawali, the reason it was delayed because usually I'm the host of this show every Wednesday, and me and Brother Sean co-hosted, but I should have prepped him that when my attorney's on the show and he's on the phone, I shut the hell up. And so I'm going to let him host it, and I'm going to let the man who freed me and speak for me. Hell, I ain't got nothing to say tonight. Mawali got so much. So, Sean, I'm muting my phone. And like I said, I'm going to turn it over to my attorney.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You got good counsel. So, counselor, please tell us what's going on with you, sir. How have you been? What's been going on in the legal world with you? What's happening with Brother Mawali Davis?
We've been doing well. I tell you, we've had a battle on our hands. Everywhere we turn, it seems as though they have tried to incarcerate or lock up different political leaders that represent our interests. And Brother Hashim is a prime example of the kind of fight that we have to wage legally to ensure that people continue to have their voice, and we continue to make sure that people have a right to speak their mind, what's on their mind, and not be stifled by different governmental entities that would try to silence them. And so this has been a fight that has gone on for over a year to see Brother Hashim have to sit incarcerated for 4 months unjustly, and to know that he was innocent, and to try to get the judge that first had his case to grant us a preliminary hearing so that we could present evidence of his innocence was just really, it's frustrating. And so we, as a firm at the Davis-Bozeman Law Firm, our objective is to just try to serve our people in a way that we could make both our parents and our ancestors proud. And so this victory is exactly what it is a victory of myself with attorney Tawana Morgan and my law partner Robert Bozeman, and we have attorney Candace McKinley, Jessica Robinson, Eklund Mercy. These are we have really intentionally tried to build one of the a strong African-American firm that seeks to work in the interest of our people and also to organize in our community, particularly in DeKalb County, one of the a predominantly African-American counties in the state of Georgia, and one that has a strong political base, the county of Cynthia McKinney, county of John Evans, and the county that Brother Hashim Nzinga was incarcerated in most recently. And so we have just been trying to do that work, representing various folks. Lil Scrappy on Love and Hip Hop, he just recently, last night, had a new issue that we've been working through with him. But we also have been working on the organizing front. We help organize the law firm, working with Sankofa United Church of Christ and Reverend Derek Rice and Brother Derek Bozeman, organized the largest march following the George Zimmerman verdict in the southeast. We had about 5,000 people the Monday after the verdict take to the streets and march from the Atlanta University Center to the CNN Center, demanding and making clear that Black life matters. And we worked real hard on making sure a lot of different voices were heard. Brother Kalanji from FTP, my one of my mentors and elders, Dr. Akinyele Moja from Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, so many other brothers and sisters from different organizations in our movement came out and had an opportunity to speak to the masses of our people in a way that we don't often get an opportunity to speak. So that's what's been going on in a nutshell. Besides me trying to raise my sons and take care of my family, we've just been trying to continue to build a law firm interested in and committed to the liberation of our people and serving our people through all of the areas of law that we practice.
Yes, sir. Tell us what's going on with the case of Minister Hashim Nzinga. He was able to speak about it briefly, but he didn't want to go too far into it. He wanted to save it for you. Now, the last time that I saw you, we were in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Black Power Summit that we had, the new Black Panther Summit. We were raising money for Minister Hashim Nzinga, and that's the last time that I saw you. So what is happening? What's the turn of the events? Where are we at now? What's going forward? What's happening?
Well, brother, I'm glad you raised that, and I want to make it real clear that the power is in the people, and the fact that brothers and sisters and comrades of Hashim continue to organize and work while he was incarcerated during that period is what helped lead us to victory. And so what we had was these charges of him being charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon that we knew was bogus. Brother Hashim was attempting to surrender his firearm to a pawn shop. He had not been properly advised by probation officer on a nonviolent felony to begin with, and it all culminated in what we believe was an orchestrated arrest. And when he went to report for the very first time in another county, this whole arrest was orchestrated. They arrest him, and he hadn't even been given proper instructions on how they wanted him to handle his firearms. And so he was trying to be proactive, and they tried to turn this into a crime. And so we were clear from the very beginning that he never had any intent on possessing a firearm, and he was trying as best he could to rid himself of the firearm while he was handling this probation matter. And that was what our position was, and it is really what it has continued to be. And so the case was indicted. We made several attempts to have hearings to no avail prior to indictment. Then when the case was indicted, we reached out to the district attorney's office. He said that he would take a good hard look at it. And the case was prepared, and we were prepared to go to trial. And so at a calendar call, we announced we would be ready for trial. And we continue to have dialogue with the district attorney's office, trying to show them the document, which made it very clear that he had not gone to probation. He had not been properly instructed on how to handle the firearm, and therefore the knowledge element of the crime could not possibly be met. And we believe that the arresting powers knew this when they arrested him. However, we had to disclose all of this information to the district attorney's office. They took time, as they do, to make sure that what we presented to them was accurate and was, in fact, real, and they looked at it, and then they came back and they dismissed the case against him. So the case of the state of Georgia versus Hashim Nzinga in DeKalb County is absolutely been dismissed, and that case is over. And that is a result of some hard work in the community, and also hard work with Attorney Tawana Morgan, who has been leading the charge here in our law firm at the Davis Bozeman Law Firm. And it just, again, is a reflection of how we can go and get these educations, and we can learn how to work and how to be contribute to our community, and then we can use it to help those who really are on the front lines trying to raise the consciousness of our community and to address some of the ills that we experience on a day-to-day basis, like Brother Hashim Nzinga has done over the last over 20 years.
Wow, so you are of the opinion, which I carry the same opinion and position, that this was political in nature, that the whole essence of his arrest, his trial and harassment, all of that was political. That's your position?
Hashim Nzinga was a political prisoner. Absolutely. I make no bones about it. I said it at our first press conference when we tried to, again, expose his innocence to the community. And I said again that this was politically motivated. This was an attempt to speak his mind about whether we agree with every word that comes out of in anyone's mouth. We believe that the First Amendment is a right for individuals in this country to be able to raise their voice, to take a position, and whether that position is popular or not, they should not be silenced by any government entity. And so what we saw was an attempt to silence him shortly after, before George Zimmerman was arrested. I believe that it was an attempt to silence him. I believe that that effort has continued to disrupt his organizing efforts. And if we're clear about the counterintelligence program that was started by J. Edgar Hoover through the FBI program, we know that one of the objectives has always been to disrupt African-American organizations and their leadership, to try to prevent them from being able to build a grassroots movement and to be able to speak a truth to power and direct our people on a clear path with respect to just how we have been suffering and what the remedy is. And the remedy has to involve us waking up our consciousness and being more self-determining and self-sufficient and working in our own interest. And when we do that, we'll set an example for our children. And so when you have people that are engaging in that kind of work, it becomes a real, real issue when they're silence them. And the only way we can prevent them from silencing them is to call it what it is, that this was a politically motivated prosecution, that we're thankful the district attorney's office finally brought a halt to. But again, we were prepared, if need be, to take the case all the way to trial in this fight and really expose those powers and governmental entities who put their hand in the middle of this and really directed from behind the scenes the arrest and prosecution and incarceration of Hashim and Zynga. You know, I was watching Music is a Weapon, a documentary about Fela Kuti. And Fela talked about how the efforts that the Nigerian government at the time in the 1970s and late 70s, early 80s, how they had beaten him and thrown his mother and thrown him from a window and broken his legs. And he said that, you know, they think that they can break me, but all they really are doing is making me stronger. And so we have all of these examples of our ancestors who have had to endure far worse than what we've had to endure. And it just has made them stronger. It's made them clear. And it reminds us that if we are on the right path, there will be resistance. And that's what we find. And we can't whine or cry about it. It's the reality of a struggle for self-determination and to make sure that our people understand the stakes, because the stakes are high for our children. I want my sons to be able to be even more self-determining than I have been, to be able to build, to have opportunities, to know what it is to realize reparations in their lifetime. All of these things are efforts that are noble, worthy causes that people have died and sacrificed their lives for. They have been scholars, they have been activists, they have been lawyers, they have been cultural warriors, musicians that have been committed to the upliftment of Black people around the world. And that is a noble cause. That's not something that we should be ashamed of. That's not something that we should let anyone hold us, treat us as if we should cower or be quiet. It's something that I'm proud to consider myself a liberation lawyer. I'm proud to follow in the footsteps of Chokwe Lumumba and follow in the footsteps of Donald Lee Hollowell and C.B. King and all of those legal giants and Milton Henry. You know, it's a roll call of African-American activist attorneys. And for us, it's an honor for us to try to keep that tradition of just not setting up a law firm to just make money, but to set up a law firm that can fight this fight against all odds. And every time I get up in the morning, I get on my hands and knees and I thank God. I get on my hands and knees and I pour libations, and I'm thankful that I've had the opportunity to be of some service to our people. That's my hope and that's my prayer for my sons, that they will find a way that they can contribute to the upliftment of our people in a way that they not only are able to take care of their family, but they're also able to be some kind of example of resistance and not just being what everybody else wants them to be, and that's basically copycats and not being unique and not being culturally conscious and not being committed.
Absolutely. That's excellent. That's our same prayer as well. We want to take this time to bring Minister Hashim and Zynga back into the discussion, and we'll go forward. Brother Hashim, you with us?
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I just want to say one thing. I was riding with Big Brother Davis the other day. I mean, it's incredible how real fathers don't make excuses. He leave the courtroom. He run to his law office. He do some debriefing. He go to his conference room. He get a cup of coffee. He shoots across town, picks his young sons up, shoot them to basketball practice, and most time go in there and work out with them while they working out. But on the way to basketball practice, he showed me the signs of a Khalid Muhammad. His son, one son was reading the book, the other son wasn't. He said, "Where's your book? You know, when we ride, you read." And but his car is full of books. So I reached down and find one of the revolutionaries' books and give it to his son. And he makes his sons read while they're riding. So when we get these geniuses, Dr. Farrakhan said, it ain't pop-up happening. This is a transformation. This is a system that people like Attorney David sets up with his son. So when these giants face this world and they're brilliant, they're intellectual, it's not by accident. I yield and take it back to Attorney Davis.
Well, I think brother's phone felt like he might have lost signal. You still with us, Brother Attorney? Brother Mwale? Can you hear me?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Brother Mwale? Yes, sir. We can hear you now. All right.
Okay. I was inspired. I was in Chicago last Wednesday, a week ago today. And on Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, over on the south side of Chicago, my godfather and one of my leaders and elders in the struggle, Conrad Worrell, had a street named after him. And the building that is in front of the street is the Jacob Carruthers Center. And the street is named now Jacob Carruthers Center, since on Conrad Worrell, Dr. Conrad Worrell Way, and it's since on Father Clement Avenue. And those were, and are, because Father Clements and Conrad Worrell are still alive and still working and doing work. And to be there at that, on that day, and to hear the different organizers and the different and family members talk about the 40 years of work that Conrad Worrell has put in, and to have an opportunity myself to attest to the importance that he's had in my development in this movement was inspiring, and it was it really lifted me. And one of the things that, you know, when we talk about doctors, and one of the things that I share, and I just would like to share with the listeners this evening, is one of the things that when we talk about doctors, we, and what I said was, we normally think of medical doctors saving our lives. We think of these medical doctors with an MD who, you know, put us on an operating room table, and they begin to use their training as medical doctors to save our lives. And I asked the audience there that day to imagine us being on a table in surgery, and imagine if we had Dr. Jacob Carruthers, is one of the doctors working on you. He's got his hands in your head working on your brain. And then there's a great intellectual, Dr. Anderson Thompson, one of my other teachers, who I said, imagine Dr. Thompson having your African heart in his hands and massaging your heart to make sure that your heart kept beating to the rhythm of Africa. And imagine having Dr. Iva Carruthers, a brilliant warrior, scholar, activist, sister, directing these brothers. And then there's Dr. Conrad Worrell leaning over. And if you've ever heard his raspy voice, leaning over, and in most instances, you hear them. The doctor might say, "Stay with me, stay with me." But in this particular instance, in my African imagination, I could see Dr. Conrad Worrell leaning over and leaning close and whispering in our ear, we are an African people. We are an African people. We are an African people. Yo ho, 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 ho. That was the story that he would continue to tell us when I was in the Navy, when I was in the military, and we were organizing African Center study groups aboard the USS Forrestal, aboard the John F. Kennedy, on military bases at NAS Atlanta, at Rota, Spain. So everywhere we went, we tried to set up these study groups so that we could learn more about ourselves. And so you have these doctors, the very doctor who founded the New Black Panther Party, and the Dr. Edward Robinson, and all of these doctors. We need Dr. Amos Wilson, Marimba Ani, Akinyele Omoja. What they've done in terms of saving our lives is that they have given us clarity and they've given us courage. And when they've done that, that saved our lives. So many brothers and sisters are lost. Their lives are literally lost because they don't have clarity and they don't have courage. They don't know what must be done. They don't know when they wake up in the morning that they have to wake up and give everything they have to their people. They just don't know. They're just confused. They think that it's all about them. It's about this moment. But it's our responsibility to try to continue to educate, to agitate, and to organize. That's our role as conscious Black people who want the best for our community, who want to see our community thrive and our young people respect our elders and our young people not turn on one another. But we have to put inside of them something healthy. You've never seen a healthy African, a healthy Black, kill another brother or sister. You've never seen that because when we're healthy, we won't engage in that kind of behavior and that kind of activity. And so it just has been, you know, I came into the movement through the African-Centered Education Movement. So I got a chance to hear Dr. John Henry Clark and spend time with Jacob Carruthers and hear from these intellectual giants. And then I did that while I was active duty in the military, learning from them and learning what my role and responsibility had to be. And then going to law school with that consciousness already embedded there. And then going from law school and having a chance to meet Chokwe Lumumba. I remember the first time I met him, we were at a meeting in Baltimore. And it was a national, one of those national gatherings of Black organizers from around the country that Ron Daniels had put together. And Conrad Worrell introduced me to him, and I had just seen him in Jet Magazine representing Tupac, and I said, man, I want to be like him. You see, so we don't know who's looking at us. We don't know who's paying attention to whether we're going to be consistent in our work and consistent in the work that we do in the interest of our people. And so I saw him. I saw an image. I saw a man. And I said I could try to do some of the things that he did, and I went and I got a law degree, and I've tried my best to make those that have given me a sense of who I am and saved my life. I've tried to just do similar work that could be life-saving for a young brother who I was a fool. When I first came out the Naval Academy, I was an absolute fool. I was dangerous to myself and others. And it took learning who I was as an African man and gaining African consciousness and then having that coupled with meeting Dale Jones and learning how the system of white supremacy, global white supremacy, functions, how it functions in our demise and in promoting genocide and fratricide and menticide. And those are the things that I learned when I was in Philadelphia. So Philadelphia was my cultural birthplace. And so I learned in Philadelphia working with a brother by the name of Butch Slaughter and a brother by the name of Chris Foster and Loretta Elmore. We started an organization. and we thus said we're going to just do some study groups. But then when you study, what do you have to do after you study? You got to act. So then we started going into the community and working with Brother Deacon Dale Jones on 52nd Street. And so this is, for me, this is my 20th year. In 1993 was when I became committed to this movement. Up until then, I was aware. I knew that there was something not right, and I started getting some hints, and I'd go up to Howard, and I'd sneak out and see Minister Farrakhan, and I, you know, we have this awareness, but then you become conscious that there's a movement, that there are folks that still believe in the interest of our people and are willing to work for it. So I know I probably talked too long, brothers, but you all have gotten me fired up when I've had a chance to kind of reflect. Man, it's been a long, hard road, but you know, it's been a joy, and I think that that's what we have to communicate to people who are coming into the movement and coming into this work, is that we have to know that there is joy in working in the interest of our people, that we have something that gets you up in the morning. And it can get you up without a hangover. It can get you up and get you putting your feet on the floor and giving you a purpose in this world, and knowing that God is on our side. Because if we history will judge whether we were right or wrong. One of the things that Queen Mother Mama Njeri Algani will tell us in the reparations movement, history will judge whether we were right or wrong. But I believe that we're right. I believe in all my heart, my soul and my spirit, that the liberation of African people is a sacred task, one that we deserves our energy and deserves our life force. And if we do what we can in this movement while we're here, there'll be some that'll come after us that'll pour our basins and remember us the way we remember Dr. Khaled Muhammad and Dr. Conrad Worrell and Dr. Jacob Carruthers and so many others, Martin R. Delaney and Harriet Tubman and Henry Highland Garnett, and ancestors who, against all of those odds, they still remember. They never let go of who we are, and they never gave up. So I'm thankful, I'm proud of the work that we've been able to do at the Davis-Bozeman Law Firm and being able to work with all of the organizations in the Atlanta area, but across the country. And we're looking forward to supporting being there for the Million Youth March.
Absolutely.
And just and continuing to connect with our people wherever they are, whether they banging or slanging, whether they at the church, whether they at the mosque, whether they at the YMCA, they at the gymnasium, they in the library, they in the courtroom, they at the jail, the prison. We just want to connect with them, give them the best that we have, because we know that our good work will be rewarded in due time.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Hey, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
See, when your family and yourself and you got God in your life and you living and creating life and living on the right sidewalk, and you got your checklist, and God is on your side, and you're in a situation that so-called situation that they say I was in, and you got a man like this representing you, and he's telling your other man, Attorney Shabazz, hey, go ahead and handle the Panther Party, go ahead and handle the march. I got your brother Hashim down there. Don't worry about it. If we need you, we'll call you. See, this is when you can go into a courtroom and be snoring, and they have to wake you up because all that other stuff you don't hear because you're clear.
That's right.
So I have to just share this last thing, and I just want people to kind of keep, you know, thinking about what our role is. And so we do four things at our firm in terms of our practice areas. We do criminal defense work, you know, go taking cases to trial if they need to go. We do personal injury, which has been unbelievable in terms of the number of people who are involved in accidents. I'm talking simple accidents. When they, we have what we call the liberation law model. And so the liberation law model is very simple. We just ask that you contact that our community that we've attempted to serve, just contact us. If you have a car accident, if you have a legal need, and we're going to give you the best possible service because we love our people. And in return, when the community supports us, it affords us the opportunity to take cases like Brother Hashim's where, you know, we don't have a budget. We just kind of, you know, if somebody give us a couple of dollars to say, come on, keep representing them, we'll take it. If we didn't get a penny, we will continue to take it and continue to represent them because that's how we've done with him, because we believe that the service of our people deserve our best. And so we've had different civil rights organizers who have marched and who have been in the Panther Party and different organizations. They have something come up with their family. And because of who they were, we've had political prisoners who've had nieces and nephews in Atlanta have issues come up. And it's because we recognize the service and the sacrifice they made for our community. We said, well, we could take this one pro bono, brother, because we didn't have somebody come in and bring a car accident case in. A civil rights, we do civil rights where we do false arrest and excessive force cases. And then, of course, we also do wrongful death where someone is tragically killed in a tractor-trailer accident or something like that. And so when the community brings those kinds of cases, it frees us, right? It liberates us to be able to practice this liberation law model where we say, man, that's an innocent brother or sister. We're going to represent them for free. We had a sister like that came through the Malcolm X grassroots movement who was falsely accused, and we were able to represent her and provide her what would amount to about $30,000 to $50,000 worth of legal services, and that sister's now in law school. So we have seen it work. We've seen our people. We don't want anyone to say that black people won't support black businesses. We have right now in our office 4 full-time attorneys. We have 8 support staff, 2 part-time attorneys, and 2 investigators, and they're all supported by our community. And because of that support, we're able to continue to try to help the people that need help in our community and make it known that not only are we going to help you, when we have a case that we've made something off of, we're also going to try to donate money to our organizations and to our schools. Kilumbo Cultural Institute here is an African center school we try to provide support to. And then just be in a space where young people who are interested in the law, they come and intern with us. So we're going to grow another generation of liberation lawyers because of the work that all of our ancestors have done before us, but the work that y'all are doing right now by either having this show and having the airways filled with some conscious information and not no foolishness. So we thank you. And as I close in struggle, in love, and in victory. I'm Marvelly Mel Davis, and I appreciate you, brothers, for what you all are doing.
Brother Mawali, one appreciate you. Brother Mawali, one question. The sister who you provided easily $50,000 worth of free law service, and now she's in law school. Tell the listening audience, if you wouldn't have represented her, what they were trying to give her and what sentence she was facing.
She was facing a life sentence plus.
That's
she was facing life plus 40 years. Her life would have been over. Her life would have been over. There's a young brother at Payne College right now who I consider a godson because I've gotten so close to him. He was facing 85 years, and we believed in his innocence. He wasn't associated with any of our organizations, but we just thought he was innocent, and he was innocent. And now he is on the verge. In May, he'll be graduating, and he was facing 85 years, and we got the charges against him dismissed. Similar to the way your charges have been dismissed, Brother Hashim, we just had to keep working and working and preparing and trying to show that what he was indicted for was just not accurate, not true.
Brother Sean, it's on you.
Yes, sir. I just one last question, and we're live streaming. I know you got to run, Brother Mwabi, but just can you answer for us what's going on with the suit against the Cab County? We didn't get a chance to get into that on the live stream, but I want to get this on the on demand so that when they listen to this broadcast, we know what's happening. Minister Hashim was talking about the suit against the Cab County. What's the status on that? What prompted that, and what's going forward?
Well, we've had a number of issues in DeKalb County. We have the family who was terrorized by the DeKalb County Sheriff that came in the middle of the night. The way we know they're, unfortunately, cowards will come in the middle of the night and terrorize a group of innocent family. And so we have that case, the Griffin family, that we represent, and we will continue to represent and fight for them as we move litigation against DeKalb County for falsely arresting the two young men who were literally praying out loud, and it was all recorded as they were being terrorized. And then now we're dealing with Brother Hashim's case, and I spoke with my law partner on today, Robert Bozeman, who is an intellect of intellects, a brilliant lawyer. And this brother, we talked about the fact that we believe that Brother Hashim was falsely arrested and he was falsely imprisoned for 4 months. And we believe that they had the evidence in their hands when they came and arrested him, and they knew that they were arresting him without probable cause, and this was intentional, and this was an effort to disrupt his organizing. And so it's our intention to prepare a suit, to file the suit, and begin to litigate against DeKalb County to continue to expose the lies, the misinformation, and the way that they tried to paint him in the media, posting his mugshot all over the country, and talking about a charge that they knew had no validity to it. And so that's what our efforts will be, and we're going to have to continue to file suit when we know our people are being falsely arrested and falsely accused for things that have no basis. And so it is it's just my hope that the community will continue to look closely and consciously whenever there's an accusation. Do not take it on face value. Make folks prove their case. And that is what our objective was in this case, and that's what I believe has brought us to this point where we can now show that he was falsely arrested and he should have never been arrested to begin with on these bogus charges.
Absolutely. And so we wish you victory against the beast, victory against those who try to incarcerate or did incarcerate our brethren. All the victory for you, brother. And as I said in the beginning, I think it's 10 million. You say 10 million?
Well, we don't want to talk numbers now, Brother Sean.
Okay. Well,
but I'll
whatever,
tell you what
whatever, we're going to. I tell
we're,
you what
let
we're
me
gonna
tell
do,
you what
Brother
we will
Sean.
Talk about. We will talk about that the radio listener, we're sorry we didn't get to your question, but we will talk about every father, every mother who listens to this show should go and Google my brother's law firm. Brother, give him your website.
Our website is Davis Bozeman, BOZEMAN, DavisBozeman.com. DavisBozeman.com. We can be reached. We ask you to friend us on Facebook at DavisBozemanLaw.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, because we're going to constantly put out information that we think is going to be positive and help elevate our consciousness. We have a wonderful, powerful sister Anana Paris, who is our director of operations and community affairs. So we're not just talking about being committed to the community. We went out and hired two people that work in our office that we support through our legal work that deal with the community. Brother Jared Grant is our education program director, so he helps us develop programs that we can take into our community to educate our young people about their legal rights, to educate them about the consequences of their actions and the consequences of thug life and thug culture, and we also to help educate them about how they can become attorneys and become legal professionals. So we have hired people that work in the firm that help us develop our community programming so that it's not just me trying to do it or Sister Tawana trying to do it or Brother Rob or Sister Candace trying to do it, but we have a strategic plan on how we can continue to show and demonstrate what we can do when we're willing to work with each other, set aside our egos, and allow each other to our gifts to shine and work together clear and conscious and concerned about what is in the best interest for our people. They call it, Dr. Thompson gave us the term, the African principle, to do what is in the greatest interest for the greatest number of African people. And that is what we hope we are able to achieve in the work that we do. And we ask, just go to Davis Bozeman, BOZEMAN.com, and you can see some of the work that we've been doing. We were able to get Lil Scrappy out of his situation and get him involved in the Trayvon Martin march, and he turned around and did a Trayvon Martin song. And so we don't want to give up on anybody. You know, we people are so critical and so judgmental. Man, if you all would have saw me in 1990, y'all would have gave up on me. But somebody said, man, let's get this little knucklehead from the south side of Chicago, a neighborhood called Jeffrey Minor, let's get his knucklehead some information, and let's try to give him an example, and let's see what happens. And I praise God, I praise the ancestors, that somebody did. And because they did, we were able to now, some 20 years later, we build a firm that works in the interest and sets a standard for what African-American law firms can and should be in our community. And that's just because somebody believed and somebody continued to pour into me this sense of who I am as an African man and as a black man that should be God-fearing or fearing no other man, no other person, and to be able to put forward a progressive agenda in the interest of our people that says we must be self-determining, we must be self-sufficient, and we must be able to sustain ourselves as a community, because we are not a people of beggars. We are not beggars, and we have to totally dismiss that myth and build what we need when we need it, and when we need it is right now.
In that order. Brother Mwali, thank you so much for everything that you've done, that you're doing, and that you're working with. And we pray God's blessings on you and the family, and everything that you touch turns to gold, my brother. Much success in the future, black man.
Brother, thank you, man. I really do truly thank you for the work that you're doing. You know, I tell people all the time, we need brothers and sisters coming at this thing from so many different directions, because I may not be able to reach certain folk, but you can. And I think that as long as all of these voices are heard, we're going to tap the spirit of African resistance, and we're going to tap the spirit of African excellence, and we're going to see our people awaken in a way that is only going to elevate us and continue to allow us to rebuild what has been torn down. And so I appreciate you, brother, and I look forward to seeing you in Harlem as we take to the streets and talk to our young brothers and sisters face to face and with love in our hearts, and determination in our spirits.
There you have it, Black Power. Thank you so much. Ms. Ashim, you got any closing comments?
And shoot, there can't nothing else be said, brother. You know, we did something today that Harriet Tubman, that Patrice Lumumba, that Nkrumah, that Joaquin Atte, that all the greats, all the way back to the first university, Timbuktu. This brother covered everything that it takes an African village to get us where we are. They saying it don't exist. We prove show after show that it do exist. And I just love brother to death. I mean, really, like Dr. Collett taught me, I love him to life. And hey, we're in good shape. We just got to keep working.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well,
thank you so much,
brother
Son.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And thank you, Brother Mwali. And that's
thank
our
you,
show.
Brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Black Power, our dear family, please, please spread this message around. Please make sure you support our brother, Brother Mwali Davis, and Brother Bozeman, and keep them in your prayers as they push forward to be revolutionary attorneys and warriors, and they go behind, as we call them, enemy lines, into the criminal just us system to help our people and to help people that are in need to be free and free indeed. And again, to support, go to paypal.com and use the email attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com and support the Million Youth March. Give a donation so that we can make this thing a smashing success. Remember, September the 5th through the 7th, 125th Street, Adam Clayton Powell. 125th Street, the Adam Clayton Powell Building Plaza, the Million Youth March, 15-year anniversary, millions for Trayvon. And so it's going down. Make sure you check the details on the website, millionyouthmarch2013.com. Again, that's millionyouthmarch2013.com. And so we thank you. And there you have it, another power-packed presentation of Black Power Radio. Join us again this Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, as Attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz will take us into the final broadcast. It'll be the final broadcast before the Million Youth March, and there's no telling who we're going to have on. Of course, we're always full of surprises, but we get to hear from you. And so remember, it's Black Power for Black People. It's all power to the people. And remember, I told you, if Black people are not free, there's nobody that's free. Black Power.
Good morning. Punks. These assholes, they always get away. Those were the words in that grown man's mouth as he followed in the dark a 17-year-old boy who he didn't know. And excuse my language, but those were his words, not mine.
Can't just kill him up for no reason and get away with it, shout. Gotta have some justice. Whether it's street justice or legal justice.
I'm Trayvon Martin. I'm Trayvon Martin. I'm Trayvon Martin.